is 4:39. I think we got time to squeeze one more in here before we take a recess. So our next public hearing is subdivision 2022-20 Marvel subdivision.
This is a coastal area standard subdivision to divide 40.182 acres plus or minus into 44 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County. The property is lying on the southwest corner of Brazier Road, which is Sussex County Route 345, and Vines Creek Road, which is Route 26. The 911 address is 32688 Vines Creek Road, Dagsborough, and the tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 11, Parcel 27.00. The zoning district is AR1 Agricultural Residential District. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plat, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, we have a copy of the property deed, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of the Denrec feasibility study. We also have TAC comments received from Sussex County Engineering Department, Delaware Department of Agriculture, and the Delaware Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs. I would note that we've received no comments in support, 3 comments in opposition, and 0 mail returns. Thank you.
All right, so we thank you. So, Mr. Hutt, I take it you have a doubleheader today? All right. Okay.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chairman Wheatley, members of the Commission staff, and Mr. Robertson again. For the record, David Hutt with Morris James. And Mr. Whitehouse, if I put this in the device here, will that?
It'll blow up.
You're not going to shut down the whole county computer system with the virus, are you?
The whole county system will go down.
I can have to take a recess. Though.
I can sense our IT folks' teeth grinding.
Yeah.
Well.
Mr. Hutt, just for the record, is this information that was previously submitted with the 10-day rule? Okay, all right, thanks.
Actually, the last slide may not be something, but that's in the project materials. But on this application, I'm representing Double H Development LLC, which is the applicant for the and contract purchaser for the application and property just described by Mr. Whitehouse when he introduced the application just a moment ago. With me this afternoon is Bobby Horsey behind me, a principal of Double H Development LLC. Sitting next to him is his daughter, Kelly. To my right, your left, is Ring Lardner, professional engineer with Davis Bowen and Friedel. To my left, your right, is Cliff Mumford, another professional engineer with Davis Bowen and Friedel. This afternoon, I'm going to introduce the property and some of its basic characteristics. Then Mr. Mumford is going to describe some of the design, engineering, and code compliance matters, and then I'll get up with a few concluding comments. The property is highlighted and outlined on the screens around the room. As you can see, it's located at the southwest corner of Brazier Road and Vines Creek Road, or Route 26. Vines Creek Road runs from left to right across the property, and Brazier Road starts right here and then runs south. Brazier Road is one of my favorite roads because while they're offset a little bit on the south side of Route 26, it is of course Brazier Road, and on the north side of 26, it's offset a little tiny bit, but it is West Beach Road as you cross over Vines Creek Road. As you can see, it's also a little unique, Brazier Road is, because there's a portion of it that is a state-maintained roadway you'll hear about from Mr. Mumford in a moment, but then eventually that area ends, and then it's a 50-foot-wide easement or right-of-way along which there's been some subdivision of land, similar to what the Planning Commission sees on a regular basis. As you can see in looking at the aerial imagery, this is, again, a rural residential area of Sussex County. As you can see, and we're zoomed out a little bit, but there are obviously a number of single-family home lots, just individual lots. There are some agricultural areas, both that are tilled, and there are obviously poultry houses that are located in this area. And of course, you can also see, and they're identified in blue, their names, on the screen. There are developments and subdivisions that have occurred within this area. Specifically, just moving east on 26, you have the Blackwater Village community, then Blackwater Cove. Running off the screen on the far right is Seagrove. On the southern side of Vines Creek Road or 26, you have Hickory Woods, Boyer's Village, Hidden Acres. And if you start at the site and move west, you have the Cove at Sandy Landing up near the top of the page. You also have Sea Winds, the two Dogwood communities, Dogwood Acres, Dogwood Estates, and then Waverly and Harmony Heights to the far left or the west, again, if you were headed towards Dagsboro on 26. This application is comprised of one tax parcel containing 47.48 acres of land, or 47.5 acres of land. The property is presently improved with a residential dwelling sort of in the upper left-hand corner where the cursor is located. Other than that dwelling, the property is unimproved. It consists of about 10.5 acres of wooded area. The balance of the property is agriculturally used for farming. One of the most significant features, if you drive past it or visit the site, there is a drainage channel or drainage ditch that bisects the property, and you can see it even on this aerial imagery. It starts in this upper left-hand corner of the property and then runs right through the property, essentially almost dividing the property in those two pieces above and below that area. That drainage channel or ditch benefits DelDOT, there's a 100-foot wide easement, 50-foot from center line in either direction. That's part of that DelDOT easement. And you'll hear throughout the presentation how that impacted the design and how that intends to be dealt with as part of this subdivision application. The application is for 44 lots on this property. Of course, it being 47.5 acres, that means the resulting density is 0.91 units per acre, or less than a unit per acre for this site. I point this out at the outset because this is not a typical subdivision application. This is a sort of a large lot cluster subdivision under the Sussex County Code. And one of the unusual features of that is that these lots will each have their own individual well and individual on-site wastewater treatment systems. The subdivision code indicates that in AR1, the minimum lot size may be reduced to 1/2 acre, 21,780 square feet, where soil conditions are suitable as approved by DENREC. Mr. Mumford will review a little bit of this in a moment, but as you saw in the project book materials, the applicant retained Jay Duke with Coastal Soil Consultants, Inc. To provide DENREC with a soil feasibility study. That soil feasibility study, including all of the various borings and depths and all of the other pertinent information in that study, were included in the project book materials. But then DENREC then responded to that soil feasibility study and provided a non-binding statement of feasibility, which is the typical process for a subdivision that has on-site wastewater treatment systems. DENREC's response, which again is part of the project book materials, confirmed Mr. Duke's findings and identified on those findings there is a plot that shows the lots and then shows what each septic system's design would be for each of those individual lots. Again, I point this all out at the outset, and again, we'll hear a little bit about this from Mr. Mumford in a moment, but there are not a lot of well and septic subdivisions that come in front of the Planning Commission. I think in the last 5 or more years, maybe 7 years, this is my second on-site well and wastewater treatment subdivision. Turning to the description of the property itself, the 2020 State Strategies Map that's promulgated by the Office of State Planning Coordination identifies this area as being a level 3 area. As you can see, much of this area, west, south, east and northeast of the property is in that same level three area. As you move further north and away from the property, there are areas that are level one. And of course, if you move further east, those darker shaded areas are level two areas. Similarly, looking at Sussex County's 2045 future land use map that's in the 2018 comprehensive plan, there's one consistent theme of this property or this entire area, which is it's all in the coastal area, which, as the commission knows, is one of Sussex County's seven growth areas. And this is an area of the county where growth is anticipated. And because it's in a coastal area, special environmental concerns, of course, need to be addressed. The special environmental concern, when you look at the list of items in the code, that of course most notably jumps off the page at you is that drainage channel or ditch that bisects the property. Looking at the zoning map for this property and the surrounding area, of course the unshaded areas are AR1, agricultural residential districts, and this property and many of the properties immediately adjacent to it are in that district. You can see the Blackwater communities are shaded in yellow, which of course is MR or medium density residential. And then there's an area to the southeast, a large area of land that is also MR. And of course along Route 26, there are a number of commercial and business zonings. The various shades of red or pink are of course C1, B1, CR1. And other business and commercial zoning classifications. With that quick background on the application, comprehensive plan and zoning for this area, I'm gonna ask Mr. Mumford at this time if he would review the design and engineering features and compliance with the various sections of the county subdivision code.
Thank you, David, good evening. Planning Commission members, my name is Cliff Mumford, a professional engineer and associate with Davis Bowen and Friedel, located at 1 Park Avenue, Milford. So I'll begin by reviewing the maps provided in Exhibit 1 of the booklet. I'm starting with the FEMA map, the flood insurance rate map. It's clear that the property is not within the 100-year floodplain. The 100-year floodplain is delineated as the black area listed as Zone AE. Next, the environmental map does not have any NWI wetlands shown. However, there's as David mentioned, the blue line here is an overlay of the ditch that bisects the property. And the site was investigated by Ed Linnae of Environmental Resources. And he found wetlands along the ditch, and his report can be found in Exhibit 9 of the booklet. The wetlands along the ditch have been flagged by Ed, and there's a 30-foot required resource buffer as part of the code. And that resource buffer will still fall within the 50-foot or 100-foot delta drainage easement. And that will be shown on the final subdivision plan. Next, we have the source water protection area map, and it shows in red an area of excellent recharge on the north portion of the parcel. It just happens that that recharge area line also runs with the ditch, and the north side of the property falls within that excellent recharge area. Per the county code, if the property within the recharge area will have an impervious cover of less than 35%, then no mitigation measures are required. And if we assume that the entire buildable area of each lot is impervious and then count the sidewalk and road area, we would still be less than the 35% impervious cover. Therefore, that no mitigation measures would be required. Following map is the NRCS soils map. And it shows that the soils in the development area are generally well drained. This section of soils and this section of soils, with the portion of soils that runs with the ditch is being less well-drained. So the bulk of the development is located in the well-drained soils, and those areas are conducive to this type of development. All right, moving to the subdivision layout, here's a rendering of the lots on an aerial of the site. And as David mentioned, the subdivision has dual frontage on Vines Creek Road to the north and Brazier Road to the east. And the area of state maintenance ends at this corner right here. And there's a sign there that says end of state maintenance on the road. Route 26, Vines Creek Road, is classified as a minor arterial. A 10-foot wide shared use path will be provided along the frontage, as is typical for the DLDOT requirement. And the closest lot line will be 30 foot or greater from the right-of-way of Vines Creek Road. The subdivision will have an entrance on Brazier Road here, subject to DLDOT review and approval. As I mentioned, Brazier Road is state maintained. It's classified as a local road per DLDOT functional classification maps, and it serves an abandoned trailer here, a home, single family home here, and a couple houses down here that are owned by the Braziers. This entrance is roughly 200 feet from the intersection of Vines Creek Road. The internal streets will be 24 foot wide with open drainage swales located 8 feet from the edge of pavement, and the swales can be utilized for stormwater runoff treatment in addition to the proposed infiltration ponds. A 5-foot concrete sidewalk is proposed on both sides of the road and will be located on the back side of the ditch in an easement. The road and drainage will be designed to meet the requirements of Sussex County Engineering Department and will be subject to their review and approval. Going back to the ditch that bisects the property, there's a 50-foot easement on either side of the ditch for a total 100-foot easement, and a 30-foot strip has been provided in addition to that easement, providing separation from the lot lines. Two crossings are proposed along the ditch to provide a looped road network so there's no dead end internally. Stormwater management will be provided to meet the requirements of Sussex Conservation District. As I mentioned, two stormwater infiltration ponds are proposed, one being located on the north side of the ditch and the other on the south side. And those sizes could get minimized as we move into the design portion. The initial site work will consist of installing the entrance and the stormwater ponds and the roads. Site work and grading will be limited to the right-of-way and easement areas for installation of the road and sidewalks. No grading or tree removal past the front building setback, which is 30 foot outside the right-of-way, will be proposed during the site work in order to preserve the integrity of the septic disposal areas. So this subdivision is a on-site well and septic subdivision. It's similar to the Harper's Glen subdivision, which was granted preliminary approval earlier this afternoon. So each lot will be required to have a site evaluation performed by a Class D soil scientist and pursuant to the soil feasibility study that was done by Jay Dukes of Coastal Soils. The site evaluation will identify the type of system suitable to be constructed on the lot, and it will map the acceptable disposal areas. After the site evaluation is approved, a Class C septic designer will design a septic system based on the site evaluation and the number of bedrooms proposed on the house. Selective lot clearing can be prescribed as part of the individual site plan for the lot. Project was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee in response to their comments is included in Exhibit 5 of the booklet. A letter regarding compliance with Chapter 89, Source Water Protection, is included in Exhibit 2 of the booklet, and that addresses the impervious areas proposed within the excellent groundwater recharge areas that I mentioned previously. An environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report is included in the booklet as Exhibit 4 and addresses item found in Chapter 115 of the County Code. Finally, we prepared a response to Chapter 99 that can be found in Exhibit 3 of the booklet. The project is integrated into existing terrain and surrounding landscape, provides buffers to screen objectionable features with the 30-foot landscape buffer around the perimeter, and it prevents pollution of surface and groundwater with the stormwater management controls and provides for safe vehicular and pedestrian movements and is compatible with other land uses. That concludes my portion of presentation. I'll be available after David finishes his presentation.
I spoke about it at the outset, and Mr. Mumford did a little bit during his presentation as well, regarding the on-site well and septic systems for each lot. One additional note that I wanted to bring to your attention is that when DENREC confirmed the soil feasibility study, it had a statement in that letter that states, because the property is in the Inland Bays watershed, nitrogen-reducing technologies meeting the PSN3 standard must be incorporated in the design of all on-site wastewater treatment and disposal systems. I think that's a technical way for DENREC to say that all the septic systems in this community, regardless of what style or type of septic system they are, will also have to have a pretreatment system to them because that's the nitrogen-reducing portion of that system because they're located within the inland bays. Again, that's just something that's important to the environmental, coastal area nature of this property. Even with respect to the last application that was just in front of the Planning Commission, most often what this Planning Commission sees when we talk about a subdivision or a cluster subdivision is 7,500 square foot lots. Again, that was the last application, and it's probably the most common application that the Planning Commission sees at this point in time. This is, I guess I'll call this more of an old school style project because it is on-site well and septic systems. And because of that portion of the code that I read earlier, the minimum lot size is, of course, 1/2 acre or 21,780 square feet, which means that these lots are essentially three times larger than all the lots that you would have in one your typical 7,500 square foot cluster subdivision. The net result of that, of course, when you look at the screen and consider the acreage of the property, is that the resulting density here is less than one unit to the acre, which of course is consistent with the nature of the area, consistent with the designation on the future land use map as being within the coastal area, consistent with the level 3 designation on the state strategies map, and of course, certainly consistent with the underlying AR1 agricultural residential district zoning. There would, of course, be a property owners association formed to manage and care for the common areas that you see on the property, as limited as they may be with respect to having features, but that is by design. As with these larger lots, it is anticipated that homeowners will amenitize their lot as opposed and spend their dollars there as opposed to spending their money on a property owners association with clubhouses, pools, and other things, and certainly this number of lots that would be quite a burden for 44 lot owners. But with respect to the nature of this subdivision, when you look at the code, it does indicate that this is a type of a cluster subdivision, albeit a large lot styled subdivision. And in looking at the design of this, it is certainly superior to what could be achieved under a standard subdivision. We went through this just a little bit earlier, but the first step would be to identify lands that should be preserved. And of course, there's a list of features in that portion of the code, and one of those things is wetlands or waterways. Mr. Mumford described, and you saw on the maps, how that drainage channel or drainage ditch that DLDOT has become what everybody would know as a blue line stream. It intermittently has water in it as there are storms. It fills with water and then empties, and that's why Mr. Lene flagged it. It's also why a permit would be needed for each of these crossings over that drainage area. The second step, of course, is to identify developable areas, which would be areas certainly outside of that 100-foot easement for that waterway or that feature. The third step is to then locate the roads and trails, and Mr. Mumford described how the loop road concept was chosen so that there would be no dead ends within this subdivision. And then the final step, of course, is to locate the lot lines, which results in what you see on the screens around the room. Some of the features that make this a design superior to what could occur if this was just a standard subdivision layout is, as I mentioned, that drainage feature is the most significant environmental concern that exists on this project or this property. And of course, it has 50 feet from center line of that channel or ditch that's protected by easement. But with this design, there's actually an additional 30 feet on either side. So there's 80 feet essentially from the center line in either direction. And that creates a great deal of additional protection. The second result of that that is superior is you end up with 12 acres of open space in this area of the community right here that is largely centered around that drainage channel and protects it from further encroachment, further development, and of course will allow it to function properly. That would be part of the covenants for this would be, of course, that would have to be maintained properly. And as the commission hears on a regular basis, certainly drainage concerns are often some of the biggest concerns that exist, particularly in these areas within the coastal area on the future land use map. And this certainly putting the open space around that feature allowed for a greater protection of that drainage channel. And of course, because it's a cluster subdivision, there are 30-foot buffers that will exist between this property and the adjacent properties, which is significantly greater than the standard subdivision buffer. With respect to the lots being larger and with respect to trying to best figure out a way to preserve the central drainage ditch channel area, rather than having a trail network through that ditch area, which of course would require extra permitting and such, what was done in lieu of that was that sidewalks are proposed on both sides of the street to create an internal network on which the residents of that community can travel by, you know, pedestrian means inside of that without having to create some new pathway through a drainage ditch or channel. As Mr. Whitehouse noted at the outset, there are on the online docket three comments or letters, I'm not sure exactly how to describe them, emails, but in opposition. One of those letters is from a current tenant of the property, the person who lives in this residential unit that is right there, and you know, indicating dissatisfaction with being displaced if this community were ultimately approved. The other two letters, I would say, have two primary concerns. One is traffic, and of course, anyone who's traveled on Route 26 can understand a reference to a traffic concern. However, as has been indicated a number of times, this is a low density subdivision, less than one unit to the acre. So while there is no doubt that whatever gets put on, however that property gets developed, it will certainly increase traffic in that area. This is traffic at its lowest density for a project or property of this size. The other comment in the letters of opposition was from the neighbors who live in what I'll call the notch of the property right here. And in their opposition to it, their concern was primarily that there be a clear demarcation between their property and future subdivision property. They didn't want people to think that they were within the subdivision and had to somehow pay dues, contribute, or do anything else. And certainly, that would be clear that that lot is not within the HOA that would be created for this. In addition, they were concerned, apparently what they looked at, it was not clear to them that there would be a buffer between their property and this proposed subdivision. And there certainly would be a 30-foot landscape buffer that would be installed between their property boundary and the lots that are immediately adjacent to that. And that, of course, would occur on both sides. As indicated, their property is in the notch, so their property does sit between two lots of the two proposed lots within the community. In short, this is a low-density project in the coastal area, one of the county's seven growth areas. With the design, as is set forth in the project book materials and presented this afternoon, it meets the requirements of the comprehensive plan and the zoning code, specifically Chapter 99 and the subdivision section of the code. For all of those reasons, we would ask the Planning Commission to approve this preliminary subdivision plan. And I do have proposed findings and conditions that I will hand to Mr. Whitehouse in a moment. And with that, myself and the rest of the team are ready to answer any questions that members of the commission may have.
All right, sir. We'll see if anybody has any questions for you. We'll start with Ms. Wingate.
I do have a couple. I have to say, all the time, as many times as I've looked at plans over the years, many years, I've never seen a ditch like that, a Del Dot. That's the first time I've ever seen that. So I'm curious about that. Is it actually like a ditch? I mean, is it goes down through the middle of the property?
It is.
My next question is how you're going to do, I know you said you have to do permits, but then the road, you would, what's the plan there, to put piping in there to allow the road to go over top of it?
I'll ask either Mr. Mumford or Mr. Lardner to speak to the design element of that. But yes, and I guess the first step would be to obtain a permit
right
to cross that area. But as far as what the design feature would be, I'll ask Mr. Mumford if he can address that.
Yeah, it would likely be similar to the way Brazier Road crosses the ditch. There's a culvert, which is the road crossing. And it would be permitted through the wetlands regulatory agencies.
So how deep is that ditch?
It's only 2 to 3 foot deep.
Oh, okay. You might want to stay there for a second because this is for Del Dot also. Can you tell me again what you mentioned was going to happen along Vines Creek, just a multi-use path?
Correct.
Kind of funny. Any consideration from Del Dot? Did they ask you to try to, and I know you'd have to acquire the land, I guess, to match up West Beach Road intersection? Because that is very tricky coming out of that Brazier's trying to turn left. Did they mention that at all?
Yeah,
is that a consideration?
Been into detailed conversations with Del Dot at this point.
Okay.
Because of the size of the subdivision, it doesn't require a TIS. So once we send in for a pre-submittal meeting request, some of those issues will start being addressed.
Okay. I'd also be interested in seeing some kind of emergency access off of 26 to give first responders another path to get to this subdivision without having to go on Brazier Road. That is a very small road. I noticed in the packet there is a lot of concern from archaeological study. Has anything been done with that to request an archaeological study?
Yeah, contacted Ed Otter about performing a phase one archaeological study.
I think that's all I have for right now. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Collins.
Hey. Thank you. Sorry, I have to switch glasses. just curious why you wouldn't want to, so I understand you want to avoid creating dead ends. I can relate to that. But why create two crossings that are going to require permitting across this ditch? And did I mishear you? Did you say that there was some wetland activity there or no? It's not, there's nothing really there other than just the ditch, right?
That's correct. It's flagged by Mr. Lene, and it's indicated in his report that he flagged it because it is a blue line stream and because it does have intermittent water during the summer season during large storms. And so he felt like he should flag it as, I guess, I mean, it's waters of the United States, so jurisdictionally it falls into that group of things that I don't know if I really could call it a wetland. I don't know. Is it a wetland? I ask Mr. Mumford if he can answer that question. I don't think so.
I was thinking
this. Based on what definition?
Yeah, Ed Lene, he's marked what he thinks is a waters of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineer regulated wetland. Runs with the ditch.
Thank you.
And I think the most important thing about all of that, though, is the DLDOT easement 50 feet from center line would exceed the county's resource buffer protection. And then in addition to that, what's proposed with this design is an additional 30 feet beyond that 50 feet from the center line. So there should be absolutely no impact. You end up with an 80-foot separation from here.
Thank you, Mr. Hall.
Mr. Butler.
Fire theory there.
Yeah. Staff?
None for me, thank you.
Okay. Anyone? Counselor?
None for me, thanks.
All right. Mr. Hutt, you're going to take a seat nearby, and we'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2022-20 Marvel Subdivision? Okay, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2022-20? Yes, sir, all the way in the back.
Gary Case, I live right across the street.
Okay.
I live right there.
Okay.
My neighbor who's with me lives right here.
Okay.
And this is a pretty, right here is a pretty severe, I mean, when it rains, this fills. And if anybody comes out of Brazier Road, somebody was speaking earlier, I think you were, about getting across. And, you know, that's a hard road to get out of in a general area. I live right here. There's 3 accidents in the last 2 years right here, including the lady that lives in this house over here that they're planning to, you know, she's losing her lease or right. Whatever. She got rear-ended in there last year. This is a very busy road. I don't know how this is considered minor. It's the only way into Bethany Beach, unless you come in through Coastal or Maryland. I don't know how this keeps coming up as minor. I live there, and if I don't leave at 4:30 in the morning, I work for Stokely Center, I work for the state. I don't leave at 4:30 in the morning. Getting through Dagsboro and through this area is quite a challenge. This wetland area, when it rains, it comes in there hard. And water is there most of the time. There's only a few periods during the year that is not running across under that road. Right at the, somebody just bought that, the old karate studio in front of Scott West. You know, there's I think it's a yoga studio now. That runs pretty hard right across there from the development that they put in. Sorry, I'm pointing. The development they put in over here. Also, the right of way is at 75 feet, and now they've marked up my lawn 4 times now to mark the new gas line out there. And the ROW now wants to be at 77. I don't know. I think they're coming towards the new development, not towards our houses over there. This development brings nothing to our community here. There's no water, there's no sewer, there's nothing. Our nitrate rates in our well are 20,000. The Delaware standard is 10,000. You're gonna put 44 houses in here, plus the traffic. You can talk 2 houses per car. These are pretty wealthy looking big houses. You're probably talking 3 houses per car. It's gonna add at least 100 vehicles to this daily commute. I'm sure these people are coming from out of state and are retired, but still. So my nitrates are 20,000. The legal limit in Delaware is 10,000. 44 private residents, half acre lots with shall, with wells and sewer, and each with septic. And I know they spoke of trying to mitigate the nitrates coming out of it, but and that's it's, I'm already 20,000 above, you know, I how's that going to mitigate it? Right now we have farmland across there, and I'm sure they add some nitrate to it with the fertilizers and stuff, but there's not 44 septic systems over there infiltrating into the water. And as far as the watershed goes, he is correct on where that is, right here. It comes right across here. These houses down here that are not going to be replenished for water, are they're going to start to draw down that natural rejuvenation point to where we're going to have a harder time getting water. I mean, there's nothing brought to the table here. I mean, we already have gas. You know, they had to run that for the hospital, but there's no water, there's no sewer, there's no. They're taking out this entire forest right here. This forest right here goes all the way down here. And they're just going to leave, you know, it looks like a few hundred trees here. There's a lot of wildlife that lives in here, and I'm not some...
Including an albino deer.
There is. Do you live down there?
I'm very familiar with it.
There is an albino deer. I have a picture of that. We also have one at Stokely, but I digress. I just don't see the feasibility in that. I could see if somebody was buying the land and maybe farming some and putting some single homes like the rest of the area here. And as the last presentation in Lewis, and I know these people have a right to sell their land and develop it. I get that. That's their constitutional rights. But this is insane, the amount of development in Delaware. And I know you've heard this all the time, and it's really, there's nothing you could do about that. But is that there's nothing brought to the table here but additional traffic, more contaminated wells. And I'm not saying they're going to contaminate the wells, because maybe they have a system. I'm an environmental scientist. My degree's in EV2. I get that, you know, they'll probably put in some type of pre-treatment system, but it's still going to raise the levels. My levels aren't going to come down from 20,000 right now. And the state of Delaware doesn't do anything about that, you know, because the 10,000 is the limit for safe drinking water. I have to buy drinking water, and I have a septic system. I kind of wish, if this was bringing something to the table like me and my neighbors thought, well, okay, they're bringing water and septic, let's see how we can work this out. Are we going to lose land? Are they going to put a light down there? Are they going to realign a road? How bad is this traffic going to be? But they're bringing nothing to the table to the community. And I know that's really not your, I wouldn't say concern, but it's not your foray, you know what I mean? It kind of sucks, but, you know, I get it. People sell their land. I sold my land to move here to get away from all that. There's just a lot of mitigating circumstances that make this not a viable option for this, my opinion.
All right, sir.
Thank you for your time.
For expressing it. Okay, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Yes.
To Gary on Vines Creek Road, 32901 Vines Creek Road, Dagsboro, Delaware. I've lived there 20 years. My husband's lived there for 25 years. And we face this development. And I appreciate that it is a half acre.
Go ahead. Yep. I need you to come a little bit closer, because we need you to speak into the mic and either look at the board or look at us.
I appreciate that it is a half acre, and that will raise property values. I don't like how it's minimized, that's just a drainage ditch. There is deer that go across there. We watch them every single day, all year long, and they go through there and they drink in the water. And there is an albino deer there. So I wonder why there needs to be a road there to go over that twice, and if it'll affect the deer's path going through there. Another thing I have a concern is that I have to look at this development now. And so the development down the street, Harmony something to the west, that was built 20 years ago or more, their entrance is on the side like this, and you can't tell what the name of the development is. There's no front entrance that is pretty. There's no landscaping that's pretty. It's just backyards that face the road. People pull their cars into their backyards and sell them on the street. They put all kinds of signage and weird things in their yard. So that's what you see when you're coming into the beach, when you're coming to Bethany, and you want to buy a $500,000 house. So I don't appreciate that. And I would like to understand what the landscape pathway is going to look like, and if it's going to be anything, or I'm just going to look at their backyards and whatever they choose to put in their backyards, what TikTok trend happens that they want to put out there. So that's the consideration that I'd like to see.
Okay. Right. Mr. Hutt, either you or someone on your team want to address the landscaping or the situation along Route 26, what that's going to be. Those houses are backed up. Will there be anything between the houses and the road? Is there a landscape buffer? Is there what's there? What might be there?
It would be a landscape buffer that would exist between those. As Mr. Mumford mentioned during his presentation, there's between the rear yard line and the between the rear yard line and the right-of-way line for Vines Creek Road, there is an additional 30 feet that exists there for landscaping or something along those lines.
And that landscaping is prescriptive in the ordinance, is that correct? I guess I should ask the staff, right? The landscaping in the ordinance, if there's a prescription for that, right?
There is, just based on depth and number of trees and species.
Right. And it does include trees. It's not just low-growing, not low-growth stuff. It is stuff that is designed to cure the view, if not screen it.
That's correct. It depends on the species, whether it's 5 feet or 6 feet, but there are heights and caliper widths built into code. So it cannot be just shrubs.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hutt. I appreciate it. Okay, who else would like to speak? Going once. Twice. All right. Anyone on the commission have any further comments? You guys all right? You have something to add?
They had proposed findings. I'm not sure we got them. So.
You didn't.
No.
Because I believe they're sitting on the printer in my office.
Oh. That explains it.
That explains that. I guess we'll just have to find ourselves.
If I could indulge the Planning Commission, and I could have them here momentarily.
That's fine.
I think we're good.
I think we're okay.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to engage in any heroics for that. We could hold the record open to receive them.
No, I think the record's sufficient the way it is, and if we were to submit them, then I think, in fairness, we'd have to hold the record open for anybody to respond to those.
Awesome.
I think,
yeah. Okay.
You know, we're good.
All right, no findings. We're good.
They were fairly conventional findings of things that we have. Again, they could be here probably within 3 minutes if that would help the commission out.
Okay. So, thank you. All right, anyone else on the commission have any questions? Being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening, see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. It is 527. Wow. Yeah, it feels like 10. It's 527. We're going to recess until 6 o'clock. We'll be back at 6:00.